Welcome to this episode of Talking Ghana. Talking Ghana is a podcast devoted to the left, right, and center of Ghana's politics. For each episode, my three paddies, Papa, Kwabena, Oliver, and I, will offer our unbiased but highly opinionated take on topical issues and themes coming from Ghana. My name is Nelson Opong, a lecturer at the University of Edinburgh.
I am Papa Kwesi Dankwa, but I'm Papa, okay? I'm a lawyer, I have a lot of interest in Ghanaian politics, so.
I am Kwabena Otein Echampon. Everybody calls me Otein, so you can call me Otein. People will know me as a law lecturer and a doctoral candidate in law.
I'm Mause Oliver Bakavomawo. I tend to go by Oliver. I'm a PhD candidate as well at Cambridge University. I was actually going to say that I don't know about not being biased, because I do know I have my biases, which are left a bit more left leaning, and so perhaps I'll bring that to bear in the conversation.
So first things first, why are we on this project, Talking Ghana? This idea, we must say, is part of a concerted effort to develop content that will inform listeners about the critical issues in Ghanaian politics. But for me, I just love to listen to myself. I guess it doesn't hurt to leave a voice note for my grandchildren. But what about you guys? Oliver, what are your expectations for this podcast?
I join you on the same, in saying that I like the sound of my own voice, but nothing like that. I think generally there's a need for various people within the Ghanaian context, policy-minded, to participate in the conversation in a dispassionate way and to critically analyze issues that concern Ghana. And I think within the space, there's a bit of that lacking. There's more noise than substance. And I hope some way that we bring some substance to bear in conversations that affect Ghanaians.
Yeah, and I must also add, we are all Ghanaians, so we want to exercise our freedom of expression and freedom of speech. And I know, Otin, you love to talk quite a lot, but what do you feel doing this on record?
I feel very excited, especially when you consider it within the context of our own individual discussions that we've had at Friends. We like him to listen to our own voices. Sometimes you get a feeling that what we are talking about could be something that could be out there. And I'm really excited about what we could do through this podcast. And I'm really looking forward to hearing what listeners think about what we discuss and the feedback they will send to us.
And we must also add, occasionally we might rope in a few others to join the conversation. So as we go, we will get different people. And Papa, are you excited as we are? You don't look excited.
I am excited, but you know, I like telling the Ghana story. I get frustrated about it a lot of times. And, you know, what a better place to tell the story from my viewpoint with you guys. So I'm excited to do this.
Great. So on that exciting note, I would like to introduce today's subject. We want to start off with one of the most topical issues in Ghana today, that is election 2020. So this December, specifically 7 December, Ghanaian voters will once again head to the polls for the 7th presidential and parliamentary elections under the 1992 constitution. At stake are 275 parliamentary seats and the office of the president. The ruling New Patriotic Party, the NPP, led by President Nana Akufo-Addo, will face former president and leader of the National Democratic Congress, the NDC, that is President John Dramani Mahama. It is the third time the two candidates are contesting each other, and the first time in recent Ghanaian elections that an incumbent president is facing a previous incumbent. The elections are also being conducted in the midst of the global coronavirus pandemic, which continues to affect Ghana. At the last count from the Commonwealth Secretariat's dashboard on COVID, Ghana has so far recorded about 45,000 cases with 230 deaths. So on the balance, quite a good picture. Not the mortality rate hasn't been as bad as we initially feared. But in the context of this election, what often drives successful election campaigns in Ghana, and how are the two main parties shaping up so far?
I think at least within the historical context of the Fourth Republic, the key thing for me has been that the leader connects with the mass of the Ghanaian people. So Ghanaians are very value-driven when selecting leaders. So they're looking for, you know, somebody who perhaps has some foreign connection in terms of training or, you know, work experience and stuff like that. So I think that is key to be able to connect. And then also you need to show that you have a program that will relieve people of suffering and pain, at least the mass of the people. And then you also have to show that you have guts to be able to stand up for them against bullies, whether international or domestic. So I think if you have these three things, the big chunk of it being connection, I think you are well on your way to leading the country.
So you've made a very good point about the sort of personal connection and the issue-driven connection. Do you think that the current candidates that we have, that is President Akufo-Addo and Mahama, are connecting at the level that they are supposed to connect?
I mean, these two candidates are the most, maybe I should be careful, but I think they're the most experienced politicians in the country today. I mean, you see President Mahama's experience from being a parliamentarian, being a vice president, doing some work on the continent in the African Parliament, and being president. Akufo-Addo has long-standing human rights activism, parliamentarian, you know. So these two gentlemen are highly, highly experienced. And I think over the years, they have farmed out their own persona in the eyes of the Ghanaian people. So this, for this election, I think they will both cancel out in terms of connection. I think there is some level of connection with the Ghanaian, at least Ghanaian people know them as leaders. So I think in terms of that, they'll cancel out. So it will be left with policy, which is what kind of relief are you delivering or have you delivered in the past for the Ghanaian people? And are you standing up for the heritage of the Ghanaian people? Are you standing up for the country? You know, so I think these are the two things that is outstanding and perhaps will clinch the deal for whoever becomes successful.
And we must also add that the voters have voted for each of these candidates at one point before. And so that connection is there. President Akufo-Addo argued in the MPP manifesto, which was recently launched. And in that manifesto, he argued that this election is about, quote, measuring records against processes, given that John Mahama was president between 2012 and 2016. Otin, why do you think that the president wants to frame this election in terms of the performance between his government and that of the Mahama administration?
Nelson, it is quite an interesting scenario you've just quoted. It's quite an interesting statement you just quoted because, interestingly, President Mahama is also framing the elections in that form. And that is interesting in the light that you would think that coming from the opposition, he would rather frame the election as a referendum on the performance on the incumbent, as opposed to a choice of the two parties based on their previous records. And what is interesting about it comes from what Papa just said. If they are going to cancel out their connection on the basis of their personalities, having been rightly so, as Papa described, very experienced, the most experienced politicians we have in Ghana today, then there has to be a connection on some different level, and that will be a connection on the basis of the programs and the records that they have both achieved in their presidency. And that is why this particular election is very unique and special, in the sense of pitching two people who have occupied the high office before. Until now, we've not had that situation before. And so when you pitch your programs and your records as presidents against each other, then you are, what you are telling Ghanaians is that you are confident in the programs that you executed. And so based on the programs that you executed, Ghanaians should vote for you. But then the challenge there and the risk there is that if for one reason or the other, you said you were going to do something and you couldn't do. And so for the MPP and Nanado, for instance, fingers have been pointed at the one district, one factory agenda, which has not been fully achieved. If you have projects, promise projects that have not been executed, you are going to be in problem. Or for that matter, for the NDC, if Ghanaians start thinking about some of the scandals that confronted the party, therein lies the risk of pitching records against each other. But by and large, both parties and both candidates seem to be very confident that their records will speak for themselves, and that makes this December election very interesting, because Ghanaians have lived it. Ghanaians have experienced their presidency, and so that is the point from which they will be coming from, that my record as a president is so vivid and so clear that Ghanaians will vote for me based on my record as a president. And for an opposition party, for the NDC, I would have thought they would just frame it, like in the US, frame it as a referendum on the performance of the party in power, as opposed to choosing between two parties based on their records. But that's how they have chosen to go, and it makes this election a very interesting election.
So, I mean, you've made a very important point about how the candidates are framing their respective performance or their respective government administration and stuff. But I'm just wondering, how do Ghanaians judge these people in terms of what they have given? And Oliver, if you could say something about it.
The two ways I want to intervene on the conversation. First, perhaps piggyback a bit on what Otin's last point about the framing of the conversation, and also something you said in the beginning in passing, which is about the historical nature of this election. And I think both perspectives contribute to a larger point I want to make, and hopefully I get there soon enough before the clock runs down on me. As regards the question of the framing and the nature of this election itself, I've just been thinking on the past record of how elections have been done in Ghana and the history of it. And I know that we have a tendency in each generation, I keep saying, that we make the elections or the elections that we are facing, or we think that the times that we are in are so unique that we have no historical record of it. But when you look at all the elections we've had in the Fourth Republic, there's something significant about all of them. In 1992 was the first time we transitioned to multi-party democracy. It was huge. There was no sense of how that would go. There were questions as to whether or not Rawlings would accept the elections if the NDC lost the elections, right? And then we had the whole issue of the MPP choosing to boycott parliament for the presidential elections and all of that. And then we had in 96, the first time in our elections where you have a sitting vice president who was a member of cabinet, and then who was the vice presidential candidate for the opposition. Historically, it's never happened in many even established democracies. And we're able to navigate that in some sense. And that was in 96. In 2000, that was the first time we are coming to the end of the Rawlings era, where since 1981 that he had been in office till the end of 2000, you have a first time where we knew that Rawlings was not going to be in the picture anymore. And it was a chance then to think about political succession and how we're going to navigate that. I don't know whether you remember as well, there was a lot of debate as to whether or not Rawlings was going to step down and was going to leave the scene if the MPP was to win. And it was a huge tension around that, right? And I think the only times when you can think critically about a boring election we'd had must have been in 2004, where it was then a question of whether or not, well, it was Kufuor's first time in office. But the significance of it has a direct connection with the election we have now. And I'll draw a bit much more on that. Because it was the first time then that a conversation was about, well, you've seen the MPP for the first time governing. You've had the benefit of the NDC for how long? What do you choose to do? So it was not only, the conversation was not only about a referendum on what Kufuor's term in office was, but it was about pitching the MPP as a political tradition that had been excluded from governing the country for a long time, and the NDC, which had been in power for a long time. And we saw that full blown in 2008 when, for the first time then, you have the both parties that have had the benefit of 8 years, the Rawlings, and then all we're running on both sides was, well, look at our record and look at their record. And we're seeing the same thing again now. In 2012, first time a president had died in office, and we're then confronted with a vice presidential candidate who was then coming to step in against the veteran politician Akufo Addo. So in terms of the candidates itself, and the conversation I want to have there is that at no point in time, for either of them, to be honest, did we think that they were presidential enough? Now think about, before Mahama became president, there was a lot of conversation in Ghanaian politics as to whether or not Ghana was ready for a northern candidate. And for now, it seemed that we have concluded that that is not a pertinent conversation to have anymore because we've had the benefit of Mahama. But at no point in time did people think that it was something that we were ready for, whatever that means. It was like, oh, you would always have a northern candidate who was going to be a running mate. Right? And so that myth was blown out of the water. As regards Akufo-Addo himself, there was a whole conversation about him not being presidential enough, that the typical presidential was the person who carried Kufuor's stature, that had the dreamy eyes. That was the kind of person who spoke to Ghanaians. We had come from the Rawlings type of template of where the president was. Someone that was a firebrand connected with people in different ways. So in terms of that, we saw that there was a difference, and now we've been able to demystify that he being president. So that baggage, both of them have been able to go over it. So in terms of the candidates, even though we've both said that they bring a lot of experience to it, there was points where people did not feel that they were presidential material enough. So that's the candidates themselves, right? Now the historical context, and I think that's something very important, in that we are, instead of framing this conversation as being a referendum on Akufo-Addo's first term in office, it's been about pitching records together. My sense is that any time records are pitched, we're pitching the political records of two candidates together, the government in power loses. And I'm using 2008 as the strongest example of that. That when the conversation was much more stronger about pitching the record of the MPP and the record of the NDC, the government in place then lost. As to whether we are going to see the same thing repeated now, I have no sense in how the conversation will go. And I think it's an angle that I thought I could bring out and you guys can think about.
So Oliver is right. Anytime we have pitch record of the two political parties against each other, the incumbent loses. But that has happened only at the end of the second term. So that's another interesting dimension about this very election. MPP has been in power under Manado for only 4 years. That history that you have just recounted has happened at the end of the second term, so at the end of 8 years. So it introduces another dimension. And this is a point that I've always made, that it looks as if you look at our electoral cycle, whenever we are voting for a person to become a president, we have the expectation that you can anecdotally draw from what has happened in re-electing the incumbent for another term, that there is that anticipation that whatever agenda, 4 years is not enough unless something dramatically happens. And so maybe that is another different interesting dimension to this, whether impeaching the 4 year records of Manado against the 8 year record of John Mahama, Ghanaians will think that is a fair thing to do, and not to give Manado another 4 years so that we'll be on the same playing field to really compare 8 year records before that incumbency loss, historical incumbency loss after every 8 years ticket.
So I just whatever we say about the two candidates, this is Nana Akufo-Addo's Ghana. People are living in the moment. As to whether people feel that their lives have improved over what it used to be under Mahama, or it's much worse than it was under Mahama, I think that is also going to count in terms of the kind of assessments that people make. So Papa, I haven't heard your...
Yes, so just a quick one. Just as a practical matter, I think because both have led the country before, their records are on the ballot. Just as a practical matter, you know, former President John Mahama will not run away from his record. He has to put it on the table. He has to reflect and maybe, you know, make amends somewhere and so on. Akufo-Addo cannot but run on his record. So I think just a practical intervention.
Oliver.
I disagree though that the assessment as to who's going to be able to be a better candidate or win the election would depend on whether people feel, and this I know is Papa's second point, whether or not people feel that the record or the improvements in their lives matters. I honestly do not think Ghanaian voters are that sophisticated. I honestly believe that when you're matching the 4 years to 4 years, people's welfare situation seems to me anecdotally should be worse in this republic, in this administration than in the last year. And I say this only on the basis of the fact that we are living in a global pandemic where this has affected our economy in ways which would be immeasurable. We live in a situation whereby because our economy is import dependent, the impact of the dollar rate, which has almost doubled since the NDC left office, has practical consequences on the cost of things, on the cost of living of people in the country. So I think that objectively, and because we do not track this data enough, it seems to me, and at least anecdotally, that people's living situations would be worse off now than it is. But I do think that people are much more reluctant to vote out an incumbent than they are to vote in a person. And I've always believed that people lose elections rather than win elections. And so on the same basis, I think that because they're not necessarily measuring and they are not voting in the Mahama, it's more likely that the NPP would win. But I do not think that the credit to that would be because they feel that their lives have improved in any way.
So thank you for listening to this episode. Please send us your feedback, comments and suggestions to talkinghana@protonmail.com. We'll be back next time with another explosive and highly opinionated take on Talking Ghana.